This morning we're going to be talking about ergonomic injuries and how to identify the scope of the problem. This is very important. OSHA cites that between $15 to $20 billion of direct costs are attributed to ergonomic injuries. Total costs can range $45 to $54 billion. This is an important thing in other areas of business, such as manufacturing. Unfortunately, while we treat the injuries in our profession, we don't often police ourselves and help prevent the injuries in our profession. So to identify, nothing to disclose, we're going to be looking at to try to understand the depth and breadth of the problem and to understand some of the solutions that are readily available and some things that take a little more time. So we have questions at the end. I want to start off with, we need to identify how big a problem is this, and we're going to start off with my good friend Juan Hermano from Miami, Florida. He has been the chair of the governor's survey work group, and they've assessed some data on this subject. Juan.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here. Okay. So I don't know if you're aware, but for the last 20 years, the Board of Governors of the college has been doing a yearly survey. And so last year, we looked specifically at this issue. Let's see if we have... Oh, I have to put my slides. This one?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you. So I was saying that last year we decided to look at this issue specifically as it pertains to the governors. I have nothing to disclose. And the part that deals with the ergonomic issue had two parts. One part was the work-related injuries, as you can see here, and the other part was specifically about ergonomics. So all the governors are surveyed, and this happens again every year, and we ask them to please answer the survey based on their personal opinion. As you can see, over the years, the response rate has gone up, and I think that this is important because usually when you do a survey, very few people answer it. Here, it's mandatory for the governors to answer. And although we ask them to sort of give their personal opinion, we do think that it represents the broad spectrum of surgery and surgeons. So let's look a little bit at the demographics of who these people are. Most of them are U.S. governors. As you can see here, 80%, 4% are Canadian governors, and 16% are international governors. The ages range more or less between, the most common ages are between 50 and 65 years of age. And the main specialties where they practice are general surgery, acute care surgery, trauma surgery, colorectal surgery, and surgical oncology. Again, pretty much a standard set of surgical specialties. Most governors practice in either full-time academic practices, but 15%, and this has been going up through the years, are in hospital-employed physicians. Less and less do we see people that are in private practice, but those are the main groups. And most governors also practice in relatively big cities that have at least 500,000 people. Again, mostly academic medical centers, but as you can see there's also a significant amount of community hospitals where there's at least 250 beds or so. So here's a summary, more or less 80% U.S. governors, those are the ages. And as I said, mostly academic medical centers and in large cities. So let's look first at the work-related injuries, which is pretty interesting. When you ask governors, have you ever had a work-related injury, more or less 20% of them said that they did. I'm not sure why 6% are unsure if they had an injury. If you're unsure, it's because you had one, right? I would think so. And you'll see in the numbers I put, I added those to the ones that really had injuries. But let's say 20% of surgeons are aware that they've had an injury. And these are the most common injuries, which also makes sense, right? We many times are in a weird position when we're doing surgery. So most of the injuries were related to the cervical or the lumbar spine, as you can see here, with back pain, herniated discs. And also the shoulder and the wrist seem to be a common theme of where injuries happen. If you don't use pressure stockings, you can get leg swelling. And if you use, and I have nothing to do with this, but if you use the Crocs shoes that don't give you a little bit of support, you can get plantar fasciitis. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
So I switched from Crocs to other stuff. Also, if you had an injury, did you have to either undergo therapy or had to stop working just because of the injury? And you look, you can see that 65% of people that have injuries actually end up having therapy, surgery, or had to stop performing surgery. The most frequent types of therapies that were done were physical therapy, back surgery, a common theme also, and they had had either disc surgeries or fusions. Now, if you ask governors, do you know of someone that has had a work-related injury, it's double the amount of the governors that had an injury. So it's like 41% that know of someone that has had a work-related injury. And so, again, 20 to 26% of governors have had injuries, double the amount if you ask them, do you know of a colleague that had that? And 65% of the time, you either had to undergo treatment or had to stop operating because of this. Physical therapy was the most common modality of therapy used. And, you know, spine injuries definitely are common. Now, as far as ergonomics, so we asked, do you consider all of the ergonomic issues when you begin a surgical procedure, right? And fortunately, 80% of the governors said, yes, indeed, they did that. And the most common things that were done had to do with the height of the table, of the operating room table, as you can see there, the lighting that is used during the procedure. If you are doing laparoscopic or endoscopic surgery, the height of the monitor, adjusting the room setup, the way the room is set up, and 36% of governors used actually the pressure stockings. You can see all the other ones here. A floor mat, those are things that people also use. So other measures are the posture, using comfortable shoes, sometimes even braces, and bathroom breaks. I'm not sure if this is, I don't know, maybe BPH or something. But, you know, for the most part, for a two-hour case, hopefully you don't have to take too many bathroom breaks. All right. Now, when you are considering a new equipment or a new procedure, do you actually look at the ergonomic ramifications of that? And more or less 50% of the time, governors said that, yes, they consider those things when they're looking at new equipment or a new procedure. Now, this is the bad part. So when a hospital is buying an equipment, right, and they usually buy the cheapest thing they can get, they rarely involve the surgeon in that decision process, which is not good, right? Because you want to know, from an ergonomic standpoint at least, right, what are the different equipments that are available, how ergonomic are they? And only 24% of the time did they actually consider the surgeon's opinion when buying new equipment. Now, also, not very good news, most hospitals don't have a good program to address or prevent ergonomic injuries. So if something happens because of ergonomics, most hospitals don't have any systems in place to help you with that. So the bottom line, well, the good news is that most surgeons do look at ergonomic issues before they start the case. When we look at the ages, this interest goes up as we age. Table height, lighting, monitor height were the most common things that surgeons use. And we do consider ergonomic issues when we look at new equipment. However, as I was saying, most hospitals don't have a true program in ergonomics. And if there is such a program, it's the hospital administrators who actually handle it. They don't. There's not much surgeon involvement. As you can see, 24% of hospitals are the ones that always include the surgeon's opinion. Now, the limitations of the survey is that, of course, all the governors were the only ones that were surveyed, right? So you're getting the opinion of the governors. However, because of the high response rate, I do believe that this represents kind of the house of surgery. It may not, if you consider that, well, yes, these are people that are mostly in academic centers, etc. But I think that based on the specialties that you could see, although there may be a selection bias and it was their personal opinion, etc., I do think that it does represent more or less the house of surgery. So what are the next steps? Because we recognize this is an issue. So maybe identify ergonomic strategies, right? This is something that is definitely important. Doing an ergonomic timeout, maybe to consider before you start your case, right? To really look at the setup of the room, look at the lighting of the room, look at the height of the monitor. Before you start doing surgery and try to accommodate things after you're already scrubbed, maybe look at that before you do your procedure and make that a routine part of your timeout. Also, to increase surgical involvement, that means, well, in your hospital, try to get involved in your hospital, try to be in the committees that decide which are from a technical aspect, what things are used. Maybe discuss these issues, because this is an important problem to discuss it in your general surgery department meetings. And maybe have more sessions like this one. That would definitely help. So with that, I want to thank you. Thank you for inviting me to present the governor's survey.